Just got a text. Thank you so much for that text. I had the on-air button on the wrong studio, so you guys didn't hear any of my banter just now. So I'm going to have to run it all back. It really is one of those mornings. It really just is one of those mornings. Okay, so this is going to sound weird on the podcast, but you know what, Kyle? Leave it in. Leave it in. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to News of My Fiance. DJ Ambush here, flying solo because MJ is out with a serious neurological event. The migraine is migraining heavy today, super heavy today. Shout out to the text I got already letting me know that, you know, we were in the wrong, you know, you guys weren't hearing me. So I'm going to repeat what I said earlier, which was, hey, you guys are the co-hosts today. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of back and forth with me and you via text, whoever texts in today. We do have our stories written, so I'm going to run through these stories, but you guys are going to be a lot of the engagement and dialogue and play a huge part in today's episode. Man, was there anything else that I said that I need to repeat now that we're on the air? I'm not sure, but I do remember, like, ooh, man. That's what I was saying. I was in the middle of talking about how long my Thursdays usually are. My morning started off really weird in the way that I woke up like 4:47. We usually don't wake up. Morgan wakes up at 6 every Thursday. I wake up at 6:30. And you know what? We start the show at 7:30. So I just need that hour. MJ wakes up at 6 and usually, you know, gets a coffee and gets started. I woke up at 4:47. Went to the bathroom, came back, laid in bed for like an hour, could not get back to sleep for the life of me. Just couldn't. So I'm like, okay, all right, this is what it's going to be. Thursdays are already super long days for me. I guess I'm just going to go downstairs and get started. So I've been up since 4:47. Congratulations to me. It's not a prize that I wanted to win at all. I don't like it. But I do hope. I do hope you guys have a better day, a better start to your day than I did. Hope you guys rested well. All right, so going through these texts, hearing nothing after the music intro. This is what I'm talking about. The co-production, the cohesiveness, the collaboration in which we do this show. You guys are letting us know, hey, you're doing it wrong. Nothing's happening. Good, I missed nothing. Yes, you missed nothing. You missed nothing. Hope Morgan feels better quick. Yes. Yes. This gif is hilarious. I did not understand the assignment. And then we got another one. That migraine needs to mind its own business. Feel better, MJ. It does. It does. It really needs to mind its own business. We don't have time for this crap, Ola. We got a busy weekend, you know? We're hosting My People's Market Saturday and Sunday. There's something going on Friday. I'm hosting Members Night at Tomorrow Theater both tonight and Friday. I think MJ's recording a new episode of Unrefined Sophisticates on Friday. There is a lot going on. No one has time for all these migraines. All right, no one has time for all of that. Plus, you know, yeah, like just life outside of work. Just want to be comfortable and not be dealing with sharp pains all over your brain. So yeah, super sucks. So good morning everyone. Thank you so much for already texting in. A couple of things before we jump into the stories. I don't know if you guys have been seeing this. Corporations are out here really, really wilding. I feel like the landscape for our social media engagement and how we have navigating social networks in general, all the way to like dating networks, like it's become the Wild West. We thought it was the Wild West before, Maybe it's the Wilder West. It's the Wild West part two. I don't know. Corporations are on demon time. Restaurant bots creating fake dates to get people to the restaurant. And some people are stacking money to the ceiling by creating stories to get folks to use their referral link. So, two different instances. Earlier in the week, MJ hit me and she sent me this link on Twitter of this dude telling this story about a tweet where a woman said that she was representing her homie and that her homie was looking to have a child. And these are the genetic specifications that she wants for her mate. And she doesn't want to do insemination. She wants to do it the old natural way. And of course, there were tons of men that responded to this tweet. And, you know, it went viral. A couple million people. Then there was a second tweet added to that thread where the woman posted her friend's picture. It was like, this is what she looks like. The arrangement is just that you're available during her ovulation periods. She's looking to have 2 to 3 children. And there's no commitment from you. She just wants to do it the natural way. And, you know, your children will be well taken care of. She's well off, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, it blows up even more, right? I think it's like 2 million people responded, retweeted, or whatever. I'm always going to refer to it as Twitter. I can't do X. It's just nonsense. I'm not jumping into Elon's fever dream. In any event, I believe there was like a form or something. There were some places where people were submitting to qualify for this. And then the next step in that was, hey, thank you so much for showing interest. This person does want to move forward with you, but before doing that, they want to make sure that you have certain genetic markers, that you do or don't have certain genetic markers. So this particular post like specified that they were looking for someone of European descent. You know, you couldn't be anything outside of that. So in that third phase, it was, here's this link. Use this link and submit your DNA. And based on that, you know, this woman will make her decision. And the link was a referral link to, I think, Ancestry.com or one of these DNA spots. It was a referral link. And what we ended up finding out is that this person got, I believe, $20 per referral. The person who shared this story with the rest of the internet started out by saying, here's a way to make $20,000 in a week. And they said, mind you, it's totally unethical. It's a horrible thing to do. But this is what happened. And they told that story. So imagine you've got men all riled up and ready to go. And oh, yeah, I'm going to be able to, you know, procreate with this random person. And it's just going to cost me, you know, whatever. I'm just got to get my DNA ran and I'm good. Cool. Whole time, the person who started this scam, $20 per referral. Yeah, that's happening. I would not have ever imagined something like that would happen. And it's probably news to you guys too, or maybe it isn't. Maybe you've already seen scams like this taking place. But good grief, like, what? Anyway, so then the other one that I came across, so she shared the story with me. I said, "Leah, I got something for you. I got something more better." So apparently, restaurants are creating dating profiles. Follow me. So whatever you're on, I don't even know what the dating apps are anymore. You're in a dating app, right? And you match with someone. And that person's like, all right, cool. Let's go on a date, man. Let's get some drinks or let's go have dinner. And you're like, cool. All right, great. Yeah, excellent. And they choose the restaurant and they set up the reservation. So, you know, you get dressed, you put on your Wednesday's best to go on your date. And you get there and you got stood up. You're sitting there, you're waiting. And you're hitting the person back and you're like, what is happening? Why is this person not showing up or even responding within the app? and they just don't show. So now you're at this restaurant, you're dressed, you're hungry because you were prepared to come eat, and then you just order some food and have a meal. Who wins here? The restaurant. Because now it's just tricking people to show up for dates that aren't real so they can have customers. I mean, and these are, you know, in some of these cases, these are bots pulling this off, but I mean, wow. Has anyone ever heard of anything like this before? Better yet, do any of you think you may have been a victim of this? Because, bruh, completely caught me off guard. I was just blown away. So these are some of the, what's the word I'm looking for? This is the route. This is how desperate things have gotten. This is how manipulative some of these corporations and businesses are right now. Here's the thing. And we talk about this a lot when it comes to the retail experience and the whole retail theft myth of how, you know, that's affecting these larger corporations. The model has changed. The in-person model and the way we engage with customers has changed. Amazon played a huge part in that. The pandemic played a huge part in that. Businesses like Temu, Shein, all the rest of, I can't even remember what the other apps are. But there are so many different ways to shop right now that your retail experience has to change. It's the same thing with restaurants. I am not going to go to a restaurant if I'm not going there for the experience, the ambiance, this, like, what that restaurant can provide me. There's a restaurant, there's a Mediterranean restaurant, or no, Lebanese restaurant, not too far from our office downtown. And I go there a lot because I enjoy the food thoroughly, and the staff is amazing. I can't DoorDash that staff. I can't DoorDash that experience. I can't DoorDash my seat that I sit in every time when I go there, when I'm in the window, people watching and having great food. You know what I'm saying? But if you're not doing anything to enhance the customer's experience, yeah, man, that's what's going to happen. People are going to dip out on you. Things are going to change. Absolutely. So, watching, you know, Target and Walmart and all these other retailers make up and just, you know, create reasons why they're closing stores other than their model doesn't work anymore. It's wild to watch it. And now we have restaurants pulling things like this. Dude, I can't even imagine how long this scam's been running before anyone caught wind, really. Like, good grief. Yeah, not are you a victim of dating scams? I want to know. Yes. Also, Morgan, feel better, sis. Get that magnesium. It's life-changing. Okay. I think we actually have some magnesium drops at home. Maybe I should shoot her a text to try the magnesium. But yeah, that's right. That's where we are. When Ambush is flying solo, I'm asking you guys about dating scams. But no, I promise you, this was part of the show. I'm not going off on too many tangents today. Also, in other things happening before we get to the news stories, my hero, George Santos, man, he's a Jedi of sorts. House will vote on expelling Santos today. And he's fighting to the bitter end. George is like, hey, they're just mad that I made it in here. He's being super sassy. They're just hating. If I told you about all the scandals that they have going on, like, I've never seen this consistent degree of hubris. Like, it doesn't matter what evidence they have, what he's up against, what the face of what camera, what microphone, it doesn't matter. George does not break form. He is classic supervillain. Of course I'm going to love that. Do I love him at all? Absolutely not. He's despicable. He's a despicable person. It's extremely entertaining. But it looks like it's going to be a wrap. I do honestly believe, though, I'm not sure how this worked if you're expelled, he's going to run again. The other thing is, he's facing criminal charges. So this is my prediction for George Santos, for Sassy Santos. He's going to get expelled because the Republicans are finally over him. He has these criminal charges that he's facing. That's not going to go well. It's going to do his time. He's going to get out. He's going to drop his book. He's going to end up on Dancing with the Stars. Maybe a, not maybe, definitely going to host a podcast. Might end up on a right-wing network. George is not going anywhere. We have been cursed with Santos for the rest of our existence. Completely. Okay, cool. Not drops. Get her a magnesium soap. I'll find the link. Thank you. For anyone just joining the show, it's just me today. MJ is a little under the weather with a migraine. So people have been sending in tips and well wishes over the text line. But yeah. And I don't know if you guys heard, MJ wrote, Earth's 100-year curse is lifted. Henry Kissinger is dead. Recognized as quite the warmonger, Henry Kissinger has passed away. Again, it still had kind of like a, this also has kind of like a, I don't know, supervillain vibes to me. Like, how long has this guy been around? For like, forever. But his is a, he's moved on to another plane. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to leave that where it lays. That's going to be that. Also, before we hop into the music break, I do want to mention that the numbers, our sister station at X-Ray and also the station I'm executive director of, we're in the middle of our membership drive. We are. We want to pick up 200 new members by the end of the year. Well, December 17th, to be exact. So you can find links to checking out the different membership levels or making a donation. You can find those links in my personal bio, in the News of My Fiance bio, in the Numbers FM bio, or heading on over to the numbers.fm. We have new membership gifts. We re-upped on some stuff in the bodega. We got some really interesting stuff from our community partners. So yeah, help us meet our goal. All right, so stories today. We're going to be talking about the strike. I said we, as in me and you. We'll be talking about the strike. Teacher strike is over, but the stain on PPS is forever. Oh, who out there got kids in PPS? How do y'all feel about this? I got a couple more questions on some rail because the decisions that have been made in order to make up for the 11, I believe the 11 days, 11 makeup days that the kids missed. Oh, the solutions that they've come up with are nonsensical completely. And to me, it really just, it's a sign of how we got here in the first place. If these are the decisions we're making coming out of negotiations and these are the solutions, this is what the think tank came up with for how to solve the 11 days that have been missed. Well, Nelly, we are in for some more foolishness. And on a national stories, looking back at it, Morgan wrote all of these, she wrote the news. So look back at it. Accusations came flooding in as the Adult Survivors Act was set to expire. I don't know if you guys have been catching any of this, but there have been a lot of sexual assault, civil charges that taken place last week, that were filed last week before the deadline in New York. So Yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But first, we're going to hop into this music break. Thank you again, everyone that's been texting in. Again, you are my co-host for today, fiancés. This is going to be a lot of chatter back and forth with you guys. But we're going to hop into these two stories after our music break. All right, catch you on the other side. And we back, and we back. Welcome back to News, my fiance with DJ Ambush. Morgan Jones is out this morning with a migraine, so you just got me. You got me. I'm gonna give it to you. Much like X, gonna give it to you, and you're gonna be fine. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. Let me get this in here. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. All right, let's get into it. Ooh, No School November has been cut short. After weeks of negotiations, Portland Public Schools and the Portland Association of Teachers have reached a 3-year labor contract. However, with the dust settling, questions linger on the impact of the agreement. It's been a tumultuous journey, but teachers are back in the classrooms following the month-long strike. The ratified contract, costing around $175 million over 3 years, addresses various concerns, including compensation and class sizes. The contract includes 14.4% compounded increase, includes a 14.4% compounded increase in teacher compensation over the next 3 years. While it falls short of Pat's initial proposal, it's a compromise that both sides had to navigate. In terms of class sizes, the district opted for overload bonuses instead of hard caps. Teachers raised concerns about large class sizes, and the compromise aims to address those worries by providing additional pay for educators handling overcrowded classrooms. So it's like, we hear you on these classrooms being overcrowded. Not too much we can do about it or plan on doing about it. But here, take some extra money per kid over the decided amount of how many children you're going to have in a classroom. I mean, you know, not that that has anything to do or any effect on that child's learning experience, right? You know, throw some money at that. Teachers voted overwhelmingly in favor of the contract with nearly 95% approval. However, there is a sense of both relief and concern among educators. The contract is seen as a win, but there are worries about the financial stability, sustainability, with the projections of $130 million in cuts over the contract's duration. Many students and parents are voicing mixed sentiments. While happy the strike has ended, big mad over changes to the school calendar. Winter break has been cut by a week to make up for lost class time, a decision that doesn't sit well with some. Students express feeling excluded from the decision-making processes and are circulating a survey proposing alternatives, such as extending the school day or adding an extra week in June, which to me makes the most sense. During a recent school board meeting, these concerns were acknowledged, but the approved calendar, including the shortened winter break, remains in place. The contract addresses concerns about class size. Committees proposing a compromise involving impacted educators, school teachers, and sometimes parents. It's a nuanced approach aiming to balance the needs of various stakeholders. There are also provisions for additional planning time for teachers and a commitment to addressing issues like extreme temperatures, mold, and pest management in schools. The district anticipates budget cuts around $130 million, prompting concerns about the potential impact on support staff and substitute teachers. While the specifics are yet to be determined, the hope is to minimize the impact by eliminating open positions and cutting programs rather than resorting to layoffs. Okay, so, any of y'all got kids? Anyone have children in PPS? I'm curious as to how this affected you. How did you make out during during the strike? What would you do for childcare? How'd you navigate that? For us, we have a junior and senior, so it wasn't too tough. But I'll tell you this much. When they started talking about adding days, well, recovering those days by taking away the days from winter break, the first thing that popped in my mind was, you have parents, you have teachers, you have students that already have plans on those days. Like, flights have been purchased. Rooms have been booked. Airbnbs have been booked. Why would that be the solution? To take away a week from winter break, as opposed to trying to make up that time at the end of the school year? Because here's what I'm thinking. Teachers are extremely resourceful. They make something out of nothing all the time, because they're giving pretty much nothing at this point to educate our kids. I feel as though if we put those days at the end of the school year, we probably won't even need the full 11 days to make up. You know, there are adjustments that can be made to the curriculum to catch up on some of the lessons that were lost, and less days will be required for the makeup. But instead, you take away winter break. And here's the challenge with that. If parents and teachers have already made plans, do you think they're going to, like, what is attendance going to look like during this winter break? In all seriousness, what's attendance going to look like? It doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense to me. One of my colleagues said, you know, they work in education. And they've been talking to some substitute teachers, and they said that some of their homies that are substitutes have been like up to their neck in requests from teachers that are like, hey, I need you to cover me during the break because I've got plans. Like, this is their words I want to use, but the FCC. it's madness. It's utter madness. It's chaos. Like, PPS is behaving like a chaos agent right now, a chaos agency, if you will. Yeah, I don't get it. Someone texts in, I have kids 10 and 14. I am a mess. I'm digging myself out of a relapse into a 2020 kind of languishing. Yes, that was the other thing. I spoke to another one of my homies that's got children, and I think his kid is like 9 or 10. And the strike pretty much has them like, hey, I'm good. I'm chilling. Like, not really thinking about going back to school, Pop. I'm cruising right now. Loving all the time I get to spend with you. All the time I get to spend at home. Yeah, man, we're still dealing with the effects of the pandemic. We're still dealing with the effects of getting kids reconnected. And to have something like this happen, and the solution again being, we're going to take your winter break away from you. I remember winter break being one of the most exciting things for me as a kid outside of summer break. You got Christmas, you got New Year's. That time in between Thanksgiving and Christmas was like, psh, I mean, it's school, sure, but what are we really learning? We're just biding our time waiting for winter break. Yeah, give me some of that. And now you're taking it away? Makes little sense to me. Little sense, very little sense. Another text. That week of winter break is going to be like an understaffed daycare. I'll be happy to be rid of my kids, but they aren't going to learn anything that week. Precisely. And for leadership in Portland Public Schools not to understand that, to me, that oozes of unqualification for the position. Like, that's wild. That's really, really wild. Let's see. kind of the text. Hey, longtime listener, first time texter. Mm-hmm. Two questions. How British should MCU's Blade be? Very or very? Also, who should play Dracula? Hugs and kisses, Rudes, dudes. Rudo, good morning, Rudo. There you go. Coming out of left field. Morning, Rudo. It's just me. It's just me. Your other fiance. Your other fiance, MJ, is home with the migraines. I will answer these questions, though. How British should MCU's Blade be? None. I don't want to see Mahershala with an accent. So what are we doing? No, let's leave it alone. Let's leave it alone. Who should play Dracula? That's a good question. And what version of Dracula are we going to get? And is Dracula confirmed? Rudo, I need these answers. I need all these answers. These questions and more. Give me the deets. Let me see. PPS is not a serious institution. Another text that just came through. Yeah. It's not. It really isn't. There was a issue brought up during negotiations where they were saying that they didn't want input from parents. I forgot what the policy was that they were in discussing, or was it just in general? They thought that some of the decisions were best made by teachers and by the school board, and they wanted to limit parental input. And I'm just like, you guys aren't looking like the pros right now. This is looking pretty amateurish. Like, do you have kids? Or I can't really tell. What would make you even think that this particular decision makes an iota of sense? And I'm so curious as to how they're going to respond to this, right? Someone texted earlier and said, it's going to be like daycare. Yeah, like, how are they going to respond? How are they going to respond to teachers not showing up? Having a shortage because there aren't enough substitutes to cover everyone? Kids not being there? Like, what do we, is it really going to serve its purpose? Having those makeup days? Like, yeah, I don't know. We look at these bodies, these governing bodies, and we rely on them to create not just a sense of normalcy, but that a healthy and truly beneficial atmosphere for our kids to be in. And what we're seeing from leadership right now is ghastly. And it's really, really, it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. I'm not going to try to find any complicated way of saying it. This is embarrassing, y'all. Y'all should be embarrassed. This makes no sense. You're doing this out loud for all of us to see. I don't think this, as many people that are paying attention now to PPS have ever paid attention this much to PPS. Of course, historically, this is, you know, the first strike, and it lasted a good amount of time. But understand now, PPS, that we're all looking, we're all paying attention. You've got all eyes on you, and this is the type of decision making that's happening there. I don't know, man. It's rough stuff. Pretty rough stuff. I think we're going to hop into another music break. Apologies for the delay last time on getting you the good tunes. There was a little bit of a technical difficulty on my side. But yeah, we're going to hop into another music break real quick. Give me one sec. I know what I want to play. I'm going to find that. Oh, yeah. Little Catra. That's what we're going to do. All right. I will be right back. On the other side, we'll be discussing our national news story, all of these sexual assault charges and cases, these civil cases that are being filed. Bring some understanding to that. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. I'm flying solo today. MJ is out with the migraine for anyone just joining us. So before the music break, we were talking about PPS. And what we were talking about, the strike being over. But we definitely ended with me taking several shots at PPS. We just got a text. Okay, while we're dunking on PPS, someone posted this on Facebook. PPS reposting the U.S. News World Report top middle schools in Oregon. What do these have in common? 6 Portland middle schools rank top 10 across Oregon. Winter Haven, West Island, Beverly Cleary, Stoller, Laurelhurst, and Skyline. Okay. So I think I know one of these names, West Island. Is that where a student was attacked by 2 other students? It was like a racial attack there. I think that's why I know that name. I am not from Portland. I've only been here since 2016. So please, the person that texts, you tell me, are these, what is it significant? What's the significance of these particular middle schools? Someone tell me, is it based on the areas that they're in? Is there some inequity leaning away from these schools? Are they getting more resources? Are they getting better, you know, equipment, teachers? What's happening with these schools? Why are they ranking the top 10? Where are they located within Oregon? I'm going to run the list down again. Winter Haven, West Island, Beverly Cleary, Stoller, Laurelhurst, and Skyline. Any Portland originals, please let me know. What do these schools have in common? I'm here to be educated. PPS. PPBS. That wasn't a really good one. I'm usually much better. I'll come up with something. But while waiting on that response from TexFam, our next story, national story, is dealing with the effect of the Adult Survivors Act expiring and all of the different charges, the different civil cases that have been filed. Okay, I got a response. West Island, that kid was stolen from years ago. And also, these schools are mad white. Sylvan, thank you. It's pronounced Sylvan. Fancy zip codes, white kids, strong foundations. That's what we thought. Okay. I didn't want to assume. More text. They get all the resources. Okay. These are very white neighborhoods. They're getting all the money. Okay, I just didn't want to assume. Sylvan, there we go. Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. And water is wet. Like, yeah, man, I bet they're going to rank pretty high. If they're getting all the resources, why don't we want all of our schools to rank high? Why don't we want that for everyone? What's it going to take? I just don't understand why that wouldn't be the desire from the gate, that Oregon just has the best schools across the board and not just in predominantly white neighborhoods. I just don't get it. I don't know. So yes, hopping into the Adult Survivors Act story, I'm going to run down a list of everyone, not everyone, but some notable names that have had lawsuits filed against them during this period. Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Jimmy Iovine, Diddy, Andrew Cuomo, Eric Adams, Mayor of New York, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Axl Rose, Neil Portnow, Mike Tyson, Russell Brand, Jamie Foxx, L.A. Reid, Terry Richardson, Cuba Gooding Jr., Steven Tyler, and with the most cases, Rikers Island. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No surprise there, right? A wave of legal actions against public figures, including celebrities and politicians, followed the closure of the one-year look-back window provided by the Adult Survivors Act in New York. In 2022, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed the Adult Survivors Act into law, allowing a year-long period for survivors to file lawsuits regarding alleged sexual offenses, regardless of when the incidents occurred. The legal actions have involved several high-profile individuals, including former President Donald Trump, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, entertainment mogul Diddy, Interscope Records co-founder Jimmy Iovine, and current NYC Mayor Eric Adams. The lawsuits come in the wake of over 3,000 civil suits filed during the one-year window, according to statistics cited by the New York Times. Notably, the legal actions span various sectors, including accusations against prisons and hospitals in the state. Some of the notable legal actions include a jury finding former President Donald Trump liable in a case filed by writer E. Jean Carroll, who accused him of sexual abuse in 1996. Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, faced accusations of sexual abuse and forcible touching. Diddy recently reached a settlement following allegations of rape and abuse filed by Cassie. The legal representative for Diddy stated that the decision to settle is in no way an admission of wrongdoing. Moreover, Jimmy Iovine faces accusations of sexual abuse and harassment in a lawsuit filed by an individual identified as Jane Doe. The legal actions also extend to other public figures that I named earlier, such as Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Axl Rose, Mike Tyson, Russell Brand, Jamie Foxx, and more. These individuals face various allegations ranging from sexual assault to misconduct. The legal landscape is evolving rapidly as survivors exercise their rights. Under the Adult Survivors Act, the impact of these lawsuits extends beyond the individuals involved, raising questions about accountability, justice, and the broader societal implications. I want to get this point out before I forget. Mark Lamont Hill has been just pumping out content. And in discussing this particular story, he mentioned that other states are beginning to look at creating something similar to the Adult Survivors Act, signing something like that into policy. So what happens when you have someone like Diddy, who has faced a total of 3 charges so far in New York, but has a home and activities in LA, or has homes and activities in other states? What happens when survivors, people who have claims that they can file in all these other states that enact a similar policy like the Adult Survivors Act? I think what we're looking at is the beginning of a very huge wave of civil suits. What I fear is that these are all very powerful people. So what does the counter legislation look like? Because something has to happen, right? All these powerful individuals in entertainment and politics aren't just going to take this lying down. What is the backlash going to look like? But yeah, things are ramping up. Things are ramping up. Despite Diddy's legal representation saying, hey man, look, him settling is no admission of guilt. I want to say this, okay? I'm not sure who all is aware of this. Cassie's legal team filed the civil suit, and they reached a negotiation within 24 hours. She was asking for $30 million. Someone like Diddy, does he have $30 million to throw around? I don't know. On paper, he's a billionaire. I don't know how easy $30 million is to come by or to let go. But a lot of things would have happened during that civil trial, you know, and discovery, a lot of things would have came out. There in the 35-page filing, there was a lot of details in there. And people like Kid Cudi, one of Diddy's former bodyguards, have been speaking publicly confirming his behavior. So I can only imagine what would come out during the trial. One can only imagine. To me, I had no obligation to say alleged. To me, he did it. What do you mean? He threw the money immediately. Oh, wait, you were serious about going to trial about this, suing me? Well, let's renegotiate. Let's talk out of court. That's a lot of money if you're innocent. That's a lot of money if there's no evidence, no proof. So to me, yeah. And then to see these other two charges pop up surprised me not at all. No surprise there. None. To have someone like Aaron Hall attached to one of these cases, that's horrifying. That is horrifying. Some of you may not know who Aaron Hall is. Aaron Hall, vocalist, writer in the group Guy. God, was this late 80s, early 90s? I feel like it was around there. You've more than likely heard the music. It wasn't recent. We're talking like Vibe magazine days. In any event, late 90s, early 2000s, it was brought to the public's attention that he is an abuser. One of his former partners, Gloria Velez, he engaged in a relationship with her when she was only 16. I can't remember how many years older he was, but yeah, he knew how old she was. They had a child. He kept her in the house for the most part. He also was like an award-winning dog trainer. This is no lie, guys. You can look this stuff up. And he would use the dogs to monitor her and control her movements throughout the house and make sure she wouldn't leave the house. And like I said, just make sure she wouldn't be in certain parts of the house while he wasn't there. Dude is a maniac. Also, once these charges were filed last week, old interviews, old Aaron Hall interviews have popped up with him pretty much corroborating what's been said, what's been laid out in the civil charges, implicating Diddy and other people. And then also, if you just listen to the songs, just listen to some of the older songs, you know, Don't Be Afraid. I got chills, a chill up my spine when his name was mentioned in this lawsuit. Yeah. That was really nasty work there. As far as everyone else named, some of these are surprises and some of them aren't, you know. Harvey Weinstein, no surprise. Bill Cosby, no surprise there. Mike Tyson, yikes. Also, you know, doesn't sound like it couldn't have happened based on his past as well. Not here to judge anyone, but I'm here to judge anyone at the same time. The atmosphere in the entertainment industry, especially when we're talking about the 90s, we hear victims talk about the environment, the work environment, club environment, studio environment all the time, and the things that they were subjected to. So to hear some of these names, really no surprise there. Is there anyone that I mentioned that caught you guys off guard? Please let me know. One of the things that definitely surprised me was the percentage of cases that were filed against prisons. Specifically Rikers Island. I wasn't aware of hospitals until Morgan wrote this story. But yeah, I believe there's like thousands of cases filed against prisons. And it's not like they all waited until, you know, this past weekend to do it. These cases have been filed throughout the year. There's been tons of them. Tons. And yeah, I'm just got a text. judge away. These men are sick. They are sick. They are sick. I think it's important, though, especially in these moments, as a man, to, while I'm saying they are sick, it's a we thing, right? Sexual assault, rape, it's culture. There are so many components to it that insulate men. The way we respond, react, and ignore these situations as men is there's always that, you know, that initial urge to be like, well, I would never, and, you know, not all men, and those guys are sick. However, however, statistically, you are in community with men like this. Statistically, this type of behavior may also be in your background, right? Not all of us are as enlightened as we are today. Growing up in a society that teaches men that women are trophies, and it's our job, it's our duty to manipulate women to get what we want out of them. I reference Pepe Le Pew a lot, but going back to Pepe Le Pew, we've been conditioned. We have been conditioned. We don't have the statistics that we have with women being victims of sexual assault and coercion. We don't have these statistics. It's not like a one-sided thing where there are all these victims, where it's 1 out of 4 or whatever the actual rate is. And there isn't this degree or the responsible parties. It's, you know, this whole victim blaming, this whole idea of women should just do these particular things to remain safe. No, that's not how this works. It's not how it works. So when I watch people, especially men, react to some of these names, oh, they'd never do that. What are you talking about? What exactly are you talking about? And what's this rush to defend people, very powerful people, that are being accused of things that don't really sound like it's a stretch of the imagination? What's this rush to defend these people? Why? Do you defend people accused of sexual assault in your personal life? Do you? What is that about? What is that about? I will admit there was a sense of joy that rose up when I saw Eric Adams' name. My disdain for Eric Adams is very well documented. You can check my social media, especially Twitter. You can listen to past episodes. I don't like the guy. He's useless. He's worse than useless. He is detrimental to New York. Terrible. Terrible mayor. He claims his response to these allegations is, I've never even heard of this woman. I've never met this woman. Listen, Eric Adams lied about where he lived while he was campaigning. There is never a point I'm going to take his word on anything. Anything. The woman that accused him said this happened while he was still in law enforcement as an officer. I believe he was a sergeant at the time. I could have the position wrong, but yes, he was still in law enforcement at the time. She claimed that they worked together, and he's saying, I've never met this person. So now, as this will continue, we're going to have to have him, we're going to be forced to listen to him say, oh, I forgot. I faintly remember working with this person now, but we didn't have a lot of contact, and all of the other, you know, BS that he's going to throw at us. What would I like to see? Accountability. What would I like to see? A change in the way that we react as men. A change in the way that the patriarchy has a hold of people that aren't men. Everyone else anyone else in the way we shame victims and the way we don't believe women. I'd love to see a change in that. I really, really would. Are we going to see it soon? I don't know. Some of the early responses and reactions to these claims were, these are money grabs. Man, that made me laugh. The very nature of a civil suit is monetary. So to say a civil suit's a money grab is like, yeah, okay. Someone made a comparison. I think it was Oleyemi. It was like, when an officer kills someone, and when an officer kills a black person, let's just make it what it is, and they aren't found guilty in criminal charges, there is often a civil case that follows that. Are those situations considered cash grabs? Or is it, seen as the last opportunity to gain some degree of justice, some degree of I don't know if retribution is the right word, but trying to be made whole. So why is it that when we're talking about sexual assault survivors and them filing civil suits, it's purely a cash grab? It's about nothing but the money. And I'm gonna be honest, who cares? Who cares if it's only about the money? Who cares? They are due that. I think, stepping back on Diddy real quick, I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be a billionaire. Just with these two suits, lawsuits here, the two latest lawsuits in New York, and then any lawsuits that may be popping up in other states, as they too begin to explore enacting a similar law for a period of time. It only takes a year, man. Just leave it open for a year. See what happens in California. The dragnet of cases. But yeah, I'm curious. Did any of these names surprise you guys at all? Did I mention anyone that caught you off guard? For anyone just tuning in, we are talking about the Adult Survivors Act and the many cases that were filed. I ran a list of names down in the beginning of the story. I'm going to run them down again. Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Puff Daddy, Jimmy Iovine, Andrew Cuomo, Eric Adams, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Axl Rose, Neil Portnow, Mike Tyson, Russell Brand, Jamie Foxx, L.A. Reid, Terry Richardson, Cuba Gooding Jr., Steven Tyler, and Rikers Island. Any of those names catch you off guard? I'd love to know. We're going to hop into another music break right quick. And we will be right back. Yeah, that was Matt Theatric. I don't know. I was just in the mood for Black Panther. Wakanda Forever soundtrack. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. It's where I was. Welcome back to News with My Fiance. This is DJ Ambush. Shout out to the squad that always shows up at Nova Quest, me and Cliff's boom bat party over at White Eagle Saloon. Shout out to them. They're also loyal listeners. You guys are amazing. Shout out to everyone that, participated in the conversation this morning, helped me carry the show via text. My fiancés were the co-hosts. You guys are amazing. Shout out. We got another text that said, I had no idea about Cuba Gooding Jr. dropping like flies over here. Yeah, Cuba wasn't a surprise to me, only because the last time I heard his name was around a sexual assault charge. So a new one being filed against him and a new civil suit being filed against him didn't surprise me at all. I was like, oh, Cuba again. Cool. It is strange. It's a strange place for me as a black man, looking up to a lot of these black men when I was younger, my teenage years, my elementary school years, my adolescence, seeing these men being really proud of what they were doing, not knowing the entire time the things that they were actually doing. So yeah, it's had a profound effect. and waking me up to just seeing, you know, the duality in everyone and understanding that just because you've achieved certain things and you've had certain contributions to society doesn't mean you're not capable of the most heinous things. Doesn't mean that you're not capable of the exact same behavior that we see in our communities all the time. Seriously. And I'm always hoping that we are able to look at these situations as they happen in our community and be willing to hold people accountable, make those tough decisions, especially when it's people that we love, people we've come to revere and admire, and then people that we may be personally close to, people that we have a personal relationship with, people in our family. That's my hope. That's how I would love for things to go. We're going to see. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 107.1 and 91.1 FM. And then the Halo Manzanita and Wheeler at Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. This was News of My Fiance, brought to you by myself and you guys. Thank you tremendously. Also, Morgan Jones for writing the news. I didn't have to write anything this week, so I just rolled off the tip of my tongue so well. And our podcast editor, Kyle G. Thank you, everyone, again, for responding and checking in with us today. Thank you for the advice and the well wishes for Morgan's migraine. I will take all of this information back to her. And remember, man, don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thanks for listening. Bye, y'all.